Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
I do an early karaoke if you want. You think you can sing in your car in 10 minutes? I'll ask you to sing from your car while it's not moving. Look, it's the honor system. If you want to drive and sing and talk on your phone, what am I going to do about it? You're a grown-up as far as I know. But I'd appreciate it if you were safe. Number to call is 312-981-7200. You'll be on hold for a few minutes, but then we'll get to you. Sarah Palin's back, and I don't know how you feel about that. I know how I feel about that. But outside of the entertainment factor, she also wants you to know that Paul Ryan not backing Donald Trump last week is big trouble. Big trouble for Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan and his ilk, their problem is they have become so disconnected from the people whom they are elected to represent, as evidenced by Paul Ryan's refusal to support the GOP front runner that we just said he's our man. And what Paul Ryan and his ilk, again, their problem is they feel so threatened at this point that their power, their prestige, their purse will be adversely affected by the change that is coming with Trump and with someone like Paul Nealon, that they're not thinking straight.
You think maybe there's an ulterior motive here? I mean, first off, good for Sarah Palin. She learned the word ilk over the weekend because she was quite proud of it. She worked it into three sentences.
I saw that.
But Sarah Palin, I can't imagine she's got something else on her mind. Maybe.
I want to help and not hurt. And I am such a realist that I realize there are a whole lot of people out there who would say anybody but Palin. I wouldn't want to be a burden on the ticket. And I recognize that in many, many eyes, I would be that burden. So, you know, I just want the guy to win. I want America to win. And I don't know if I'd be the person that would be able to help him win.
Wow. No.
Wow. Wow.
Well, the reality, though, Steve, is she's a realist.
Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin are the two people who are tugging at his leg the most, going, look at me, 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 look at me.
Like the kids, exactly.
Mm. And they're both such likable types.
She just knows the word ilk because it sounds like elk.
Yeah, right. And there's a lot of those in Alaska.
Right.
Well, we'll get to this later, but the most amusing part of the weekend to me and all of this was Donald Trump ripping Hillary Clinton for supporting her husband after he cheated, and then talking about what a philanderer Bill Clinton was when Donald Trump blew up both of his first two marriages with affairs. It just continues to fall under the big, giant, colorful umbrella. You can't make it up.
Just a big pile of hypocrisy.
Yeah, a big, fat bowl of it. The rest of the news of the day as it comes up and what we have to cover, including this terrible wildfire in Canada, maybe some good news there. A little bit of rain this morning. All that on the way. But now, you know what this music means. Oh, boy. I think you can hear us tuning Paul in right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's always a big day, the day after Mother's Day. For those of you new to the show, Paul Conrad, weather superstar and entertainment guru at Channel 9's Morning News. And really, I mean, the guy carrying the rest of those clowns over there.
Yeah.
Paul Conrad married a mail-order bride a few years ago.
Lovely lady.
And what's Svetlana?
Svetlana.
And Svetlana comes in a typical Amazon box with, you know, with holes poked in it so she could breathe.
Right.
And then the two of you have how many children?
Four.
Are you
Four
sure?
Beautiful children.
Are you sure?
Yep, that's all I see laying around there.
All right. And that means a big Mother's Day at your house.
Holy moly, yeah.
Where'd they get Svetlana?
Well, you know, I push this all the time where let's not buy gifts. Let's give coupons, right? Like, so I give everybody hug coupons as often as I can because I don't want to be materialistic and get the wrong size and stuff like that.
Does that mean you don't have time to go out to the store?
A little bit, yeah.
Does that mean you don't have time to order online?
Right. Well, you know, they're like, they're different types of hug coupons, right?
Right.
Like, one's for a long, lingering embrace.
Ah, and, yes. Svetlana's coupons are different than yours.
Short ones, yeah. It's a whole spectrum, and they're painted different colors, and it's a delightful thing.
All right, so which of your children came through big on Mother's Day and which just phoned it in?
You know what? I got to say, all four of them, well, my five-year-old, she phoned it in.
She did.
She clearly phoned it. She's lining up for something. I don't know what she wants, but She did phone it in.
Yeah.
Just some scribbling on some paper that I couldn't read.
Right.
Didn't make any sense.
And you opened it for Svetlana. Because Svetlana's English isn't great, right?
It's horrible.
Right. So you opened it up for her and said, look, she wrote she loves you.
And that you're the best mother in the world.
Right. We do have
no idea
what
for her. So she's going to owe me in like 10 years. She's going to have to cover for me.
But I'm guessing my man Klaus came through with flying colors.
This kid, none of us have many artistic skills.
Yeah.
Except for my daughter Lily, but he made a 10-page card that had like pop-up things in it.
Wow!
Yeah, his handwriting
was very impressive,
but the whole thing was beautiful beyond that. And so
he
came through, and yeah, it was really nice.
Now, was all of this enough of a distraction that Svetlana didn't know that you blew it again? Didn't get her a thing?
I got her a beautiful plate.
A what?
Yeah, a plate. A blue one.
A plate? And a blue plate?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. It was gorgeous.
Why would you buy her a plate?
Well, you know, it's Mother's Day, and moms love to eat, and you can't eat on a napkin all the time.
Was this a plate?
A plate would be a nice thing for my beautiful wife.
Does this plate say you bought a set of these or just had the one?
Not just one. You only need one at a time. It's a mother. If you get eight, it's not for her.
She can't
eat out.
So
she eats off of one plate.
Special blue plate.
Yes. Blue and had a little bit of white in it also. It was a beautiful thing. And
sounds like a dream at your house,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, the look on her face of joy and enthusiasm and excitement.
Did you see shock? Was there shock,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, and you know what? I had it set out on the table for when she came
out. Oh, that's fantastic.
And it was, by heavens.
And for kids that need to learn, nothing says Mother's Day like a plate.
A blue one. Get a blue one. They like
get
the blue
Get a blue plate.
Yeah.
I think
very,
we've learned a lot.
On fleek right now is what the kids are saying.
We've learned a lot. We've learned a lot.
Yep.
Thank you.
I got some coupons for you and your coworkers over there. You ever, you know, want a little hug?
That's great. That's great.
Just let me know. I'll email them to you.
All right. So put yourself on hold. Go do the weather and then play back this segment. Listen to it and see if we made any mistakes.
Okay. Love you.
Bye. That's Paul. Paul and his blue plate. I mean, I know a blue plate special. That's a diner thing. But why a blue plate?
It was probably the closest thing when he walked in the store.
Could be.
I was right on the end cap there.
Could be. They sold one blue plate.
Isn't it odd?
Yes,
not
he
that
is.
I wouldn't expect that from Paul.
Yes, he is. He's our friend, Paul. It's 6:17. Let's do this. It's traffic with Mary. And then if you want to sing, by the way, boys, blow up the phone computer one more time for you. For me, I should say. I have no phone screen in here to screen these callers out. I can't put just any riffraff on the air, as you know. You just blew up your own computer. We got computers going down left and right in here.
I tried to turn this toward you, and it just went away.
Once we turn the computers back on, they're all gas-powered, by the way, then we'll be able to take some calls here. But we're looking for you on the phone. If you're willing to sing in your car, the prizes are great. Let me get the list here somewhere.
Probably get a
grand prize winner gets a two-night stay at the Palmer House at Hilton Hotel and your choice of an Apple Watch or a GoPro. From Apt Electronics, pleasing people since 1904. We also have some other prizes for second and third place as well. And the finalists will appear next Sunday night at the Zanies in Rosemont doing a duet with musical judge John DeCoste on stage.
Mm-hmm. Singing in your car. In your car.
That's
singing
so
in your car. It's called karaoke. Call the Cochran Show. The Cochran Show. Call the Cochran Show. It's called karaoke.
You remember what he did this last year? This is our second annual karaoke. He did a version of that, of My Sharona, which he spent time on and it killed.
It was
a studio
really good
version.
Yeah.
This version's terrible.
No, it's bad. This must have been the outtake.
Re-rack this. I want to hear one more time.
It's so bad. We love it.
So this is what it doesn't sound like when John has time to, you know, when John doesn't have time to get it done, this is what comes out.
Singing in your car, in your car, singing in your car. It's called karaoke. Call the Cochran Show. The Cochran Show. Call the Cochran Show. It's called karaoke.
He's not even on key.
You know what?
And he can say, I mean, he's really, it fascinates me how bad that is because he's really good. Well, you guys have heard the music.
But that's
really good.
It's appropriate for karaoke or karaoke because all the people who get up to sing usually aren't that good. And DeCoste is really good.
So you think he is playing to the audience.
Yeah.
And trying to make them feel good that he could be bad too.
Yeah.
He's not that smart.
No.
Mike's in Grand Rapids.
Nice, you guys.
Mike, what are you doing? You going to work?
Yes.
What is your job, Mike?
I deliver donuts.
How's business?
Donutty.
You know, Mike, I can't reach you in Grand Rapids. Would you do me a favor and just slap yourself for that? Thank you.
I hit myself.
Thank you. Who do you deliver donuts for?
I can't tell.
It's amazing how many people are, like, secretive about what their job is. It's like a free plug for a half million people.
Wouldn't they want the plug?
Well, you'd think, no. But I think what Mike's concern is that whoever's listening at the Donutty shop is going to be upset that he's goofing off singing to me. All right, Mike, right. You got a song you're ready to sing?
Yes.
What is it?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Tony Basil's Mickey. All right, whenever you're ready, Mike, we're ready for you.
Okay. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You know you're mine. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. I know you're mine. Oh, Mickey. That's all I know right now. My mind's going blank.
Are those the right words?
No, they are. You know what, Mike? That was Donutty. That was absolutely Donutty. And hold the line. You are definitely one of the contestants. Stand by, Mike. And give Mike something for calling in and risking his career.
It's a good thing you didn't give out his
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
I like Mike and his Donutty day.
Were those the right lyrics?
Nope.
No.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Mickey.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did he say? I know you're mine?
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, Mickey, better. What a pity you don't understand.
You take me by the heart when you take me by the hand.
There you go.
Oh, Mickey.
Mary and Andrea will be out in Andrea's car in a few minutes to call in and sing. It's 6:27. Dr. Kevin Most has a lot to tell you. Oh, we got to talk about Sunshine Through Golf. We did last Thursday, and then we got tied up in the mother stuff on Friday and didn't get a chance to talk about the event. Sunshine Through Golf, helping folks with disabilities and special needs get a chance to play the game. At 6:27, we'll get to everything coming up. Everything. Everything. We won't forget a thing. On the way on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Thunder Island. This was a great song, and the guy never. I don't know. Did he ever? He certainly didn't have another big hit. Just Jay Ferguson. I remember that, right? I don't think our bumps are labeled that way, but Thunder Island. Isn't it Thunder Island?
Yeah,
Thunder Island.
Yeah, and I think this would be an easy karaoke song. A little easier than Mickey.
More karaoke later. So Andre was in Dallas this weekend, and you flew back. Something happened to you, which leads to the text question. Today's text question is things I never want to hear my pilot say. Things I never want to hear my pilot say. That's your text question. All right. The reason for this is.
All right. Well, now we live in this post 9/11 world. So I think we're all a little maybe more observant or even on edge when we fly these days. So I'm in the plane.
Right. So anytime the pilot comes on and goes.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make.
Yeah, but you got to wait for the. ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that thing.
And it's always inaudible. You know.
So what did he say?
So what he said, you know, we're flying. We are almost beginning our descent to Chicago. It was a great flight. It was American Airlines. Fine flight. The pilot comes on. So I'm assuming he's starting to say something about we're just, you know, beginning our descent into Chicago.
We don't have enough gas. We need more money.
No. But he came on and he was very serious sounding. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very important announcement.
Okay, that'll get your attention.
And we all kind of sat up. And they stopped the video screen if you're watching the TV. He said, if there's a passenger on the plane named Lily Blank, and again, you're completely, my ears were perked up.
Right, you're waiting to hear Lily's a terrorist.
Lily, exactly.
Yeah.
Please, where are you? Please raise your hand so we know where you are.
And so we can put the plastic handcuffs on you and have authorities take you off at the gate.
It was bizarre. It was
but what did he say?
I wasn't expecting the pilot to say. He said, Lily. And then he started to read a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue, kind of a thing. And then he said, Tommy wants to know if you will go to the prom with him, my Gilmore girl. XOXO.
Look, I hope Tommy and Lily have a wonderful time together. I hope it's a great prom.
Right.
Here's what I don't want. And by the way, for pilots listening, I know that a computer does a lot of the work now, and I know you do have more free time in the cockpit than you used to.
Yeah.
But I still really value your job.
Yeah, and I, you know,
I like the idea. Hold on. I like the idea that you're in the cockpit paying attention. So here's what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear the pilot of the airplane asking a girl to the prom for a dude. I want to hear the pilot talking about when we're landing, where we're headed, where we're taking off. I even like the, we'll be at 35,000 feet, and if you look out of the right side of your plane, there's Albuquerque. I don't even care. That's all well and good. But fly the freaking plane.
And I shortened that, too. I mean, this went on. There was a buildup there. You know, he read this poem. He then did something else.
No,
and then he asked
that.
The question.
Don't need that. Don't want that.
Put in the little funky thing about the Gilmore Girls.
By the way, the flight attendant XO could do XO. That. Give the flight attendant that.
Yeah.
Because I can see the flight attendant, and the flight attendant, I'll know, maybe isn't getting me pretzels because they're reading the poem. But I'll also know that the pilot isn't worried about the poem up front. The pilot's actually flying the frickin' plane.
It was just...
Fly the plane!
It was bizarre. It was unexpected. And the buildup, I think, is what got me, because I thought...
No, you don't have to nice this up. The buildup wasn't it. You know what it was? Fly the plane!
Yeah.
Fly the plane.
And don't say this is an important
announcement.
That's how he started. I have an important announcement to make, and I thought, uh-oh. Again, it's the post-9/11 world. We're just all more alert. And I know, Steve, that these kids go crazy with the prom announcements now. I know it's now that's half the
not on airplanes.
The enticement
of
how
you
ask the girl
to the prom.
So
did you wish she said no?
Don't need it on airplanes.
So well, then at that point, I'm looking around. Everybody's looking for her, and she's way in the back of the plane. She's embarrassed, and she said, yeah, but nobody clapped or anything like that. It was just bizarre how the buildup to it.
I'm being told Pat Boyle wants to ask Sandberg to prom. You already live with her, fool.
It's called a promposal.
Oh,
that's the word for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then let me just edit what I said before. I don't want any promposals coming out of my pilot's mouth. Kidding me? Knock it off.
I agree. There's a time and a place.
6:45, Dr. Kevin Most will give us the medical side in a second. But first, Doc, we wanted to thank everybody at Sunshine Through Golf for having us out last Thursday.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I lost.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Someone.
You know, I lost, and I'm actually, I've got to make that contribution. Doc and I had a $100 bet for the cause, and I lost by two strokes. And so I'm gonna throw another 100 on Doc's total at the website. Check this out, sunshinethroughgolf.org.
.org, yep.
Yep.
Okay, and they are part of what? Is that the CDGA's arm?
CDGA's, yep, CDGA's foundation.
So that's the Chicago District Golf Association. And again, their mission is to provide opportunities for special needs folks and people that need special assistance to be able to play golf.
We had a fun time. It was a fun little marathon.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. What else did you want to add, Doc? All the people where we played.
Oh, the Troys. Ziggy Troys, you know, with Tim and Dennis Troy, were absolute gentlemen to come out and say hello to us and make sure we had a great time. My brother Brad had a lot of laughs, so it was always fun. It's a good time out there.
And the thing about the Ziggy Troy place, right there on 75th in, what's the town?
It's Woodridge.
Woodridge.
Woodridge, right, yeah.
In Woodridge, that driving range, the owner of Ziggy Troy told me that driving range went in because when they originally did Cog Hill, they didn't have a range.
Oh. Yeah.
So Cog Hill's, 10, 15 minutes away from there?
Yeah.
So you could warm up on your way to Cog Hill.
There you go.
You go hit some balls, jump in a car, and go over to Cog.
It's a great little executive course. There's miniature golf, too, for your family.
Yeah, really nice folks, too.
I went to the driving range and hit some balls afterwards.
Yeah, I saw you working on your game.
I needed to.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I saw you working on your game, Doc Most, Brother Brad working on your game. Who got in the car and left? Me. Yeah, me. Probably led to me shooting 85 on Saturday again. They call me Steve Trunk Slammer Cochran. But anyway, thanks to everybody involved. So you can still donate, right, Doc?
Oh, yeah. You can donate all the way up through May 20th. And Ziggy Troy is a great place. If you have kids, bring them out there. I mean, you could bring a little kid out there and just, you know, get them hooked on golf early. But, yeah, May 20th, I think, is the actual event. And we set the bar. And it's a great event. And think about it. You know, throw the cost of a sleeve of balls and make a donation under my name so I can beat both Andre and Steve. It'd be great.
It's really what it's
there
all about.
Go, right?
You just got another $100 lead. Stand by. Medical news of note and stuff we need to talk about this time of year in particular in a moment. But first, let's go to your traffic trouble spots. Mary's back with that. And this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact every day as well. By the way, Mary, again, the text question is on. So what I don't want to hear my pilot say over the speaker on the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Leave your seatbelts on at all times.
Which I don't want to hear my pilot say that. Okay.
Woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact every day.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Got some troubles here in the studio this morning, Doc, before we get to National Nurses Week. And thank you to all the nurses out there. We got allergy problems, and Sandberg and Dave Ennett are suffering this morning. Suffering, I tell you, suffering. See, they're suffering so much they can barely talk.
Well, I do feel a little kind of scratchy. And
that's not what you're saying off the air. You were whining like a little girl off the air. You were suffering.
That wasn't me.
His wife was complaining to him about his allergies.
Yeah, but you're bad too, right?
Oh, I'm terrible. So I told you I took a Benadryl, and so if I was yawning during the show, it wasn't a reflection on your content.
Yeah, it's a good producer who tries to sell that one to me.
They both sound a little nasally, both of you guys.
So what is it, Doc? Why is the allergy thing so bad right now?
Oh, it's trees. Every tree in the world is popping right now, so tree pollen is everywhere. You can't even see it on the top of your cars. And if you're outside, and a lot of people were this weekend, you know, you're going to get it. It's the weather was nice enough to be out, and you're going to just be exposed to it more. So, Mary, instead of the Benadryl, you might try Allegra or Zyrtec, one of the non-sedating ones, unless you want to sleep through the show. Then continue with the Benadryl, because that would be perfect.
You're fine if she does this off as soon as this segment's over.
Yep, that's right.
And what about Dave? Should Dave be drinking?
Yes, Dave, drink fluids, plenty of fluids.
Well, or should I just go home?
No.
Yeah, you can take the rest of the week off.
Thanks, Doc.
Yep. I'll write you a note.
If you're suffering from allergies,
it's all took.
If you're suffering from, you guys know you would never leave this show. You're
having
too much fun at this hour. If you're suffering from allergies, you're not alone. The trees are popping. It's just that simple. All right, National Nurses Week. Nurses are great. We love them, and that's not a half-hearted compliment. That's an absolute fact.
It really is. You know, this is Nurses Week. It starts, it ends on Florence Nightingale's birthday, so it's the same week every year. It might start on a Wednesday, whatever day, it starts. It always starts on the 5th and ends on the 12th. But, you know, this is the time to really, you know, take a moment and say thanks. You know, we all probably know a nurse. They live in our neighborhood. They go to our churches. They go to the stores. But it's a chance to say thanks because they just do amazing clinical things, and they go beyond that. But great minds, great compassion, great communication skills, and without them, we would be in a terrible place. I always say, doctors write orders, nurses deliver care, and they're phenomenal. And I can tell you, we love them and cherish them here at CDH.
And what's a good way to say thank you to a nurse? Just say thank you, I suppose.
Yeah, say thank you. You know what? And you know what? I put down, hey, you know, if you're in line at Starbucks and you turn around and there's a nurse behind you, buy her a coffee.
That's a good call.
You know, yeah, just one of those special things, just to say thanks and to acknowledge them. They, you know, just to acknowledge them, I think, is going to bring a smile to their face.
We are getting into summer, and once we get to summer, you love to talk sunblock. About, I don't know, was it a year and a half ago? You hooked me up with a dermatologist to check out a spot on my bald head. And they did a biopsy and found out it was nothing, but it's something that I have to keep monitoring, and I'm probably due for a checkup again, because skin cancer is deadly.
It is, you know, and May happens to be Skin Cancer Awareness Month, so everyone should be aware of it. And you think, gosh, why May? And it really makes a lot of sense. You know, the American Academy of Dermatology says, all right, let's get people thinking about this early on, because they go out in the sun now and they're not thinking about sunblock. They're thinking, oh, the sun's not that bright and let me get my base tan and all those crazy things that we think. So really, this is the month to find, to be aware of it and to figure out what you're going to do all summer, and to be educated a little bit, because it is a very deadly disease that we sometimes don't think about.
So what are we looking for?
Well, the big things, you know, right now it's about prevention. If prevention and detection are the two things that we're going to push. Prevention, you know, wear the sunblock. You know, you saw Dr. Bhatia, great dermatologist. You know, he's a guy that tells you, you should be wearing sunblock in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, and in your car, because the car, the rays blasting through your windshield.
Yeah, and especially now with people with their sunroofs open, you know, hitting the top of the head, you know, we are getting exposed to a lot of sun. And sunblock is going to keep your skin healthy. So wearing the right sunblock and making sure that you reapply it, and it's very simple. If you don't want to do the math to try to figure it out, I always say, take an SPF of between 30 and 50 and apply it every 2 hours, and you will get great protection. Make sure it's a wide-spectrum one that does UVA and UVB coverage. And if you do that and apply it every 2 hours, you're going to be fine. That's the prevention side. The detection side is very simple as well, and you should be able to tell me, Steve, what are the A, B, C, D, E's?
I do know these. Asymmetry.
Correct.
And asymmetry as opposed to symmetrical moles and spots. Melanomas are irregular, right?
Correct. A benign mole is often round or oval and very symmetric. Melanomas are very asymmetric and very irregular.
And the border, okay, the border of it, perfect, is your B. The border is an irregular thing. It's not like a smooth circle or whatever. It's just kind of a goofy-looking border.
Correct. So don't, you know, smooth, round, you know, you can make clear delineation all the way around to the border. Boom. That's something that we're not overly concerned about. The ones that are irregular, that's another thing.
Right. The C is color, but I forgot what the color significance is. Just if it changes?
Well, if it changes, but also most moles, benign moles, are one color, a single color, where melanomas are often multiple colors and different shades of colors. You might have a blue, a brown, a black. So you'll see one that's not uniform in color. You'll see that it's irregular in color, and that's a concern.
The D is a diameter, because the size matters, kids.
Absolutely. Bigger than a pencil eraser, we're very concerned. That's the one that, boy, get in to have that one looked at if it's any bigger than that.
And then E is for evolving, because if it changes, that means it's growing, and that's not what you want.
Correct. So if you have one that you're concerned about, and we all have iPhones now, take a picture of it, and then, you know, a little bit while later, take a picture of it. But the most important thing is any one that you're concerned about, get in to see the dermatologist, let him take a look at it, and let him decide. You know, my brother Brad, we played golf with him, you know, what, a week before, he had just had a skin cancer removed from his chest. So, you know, it's something that we need to put back into the hands of doctors, although some of the screening can be done in your home to see if there's any ones that you have concerns about that's going to raise you to get to the doctor sooner.
Yeah, you spend any time outside, you just got to get checked, man. You got to get checked. And the full body check's a good time if you go to the... Oh, never mind. That was all out loud. And Dave, you had a thought on this?
Well, just a quick question. I threw a tube of sunscreen in my golf bag last summer. Now, do I need to throw that out and buy a new one, Doc, or is that still going to be okay?
Yeah, Dave, you know, I look at it and say it's $6.
It's worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get a new one and, you know, make sure it's the right one. And the other thing is, you know, Dave, you probably grab one that they said, quote unquote, it's waterproof because you're going to wear it outside when you're mm-hmm. playing golf. Even the waterproof ones, if it's hot and you're sweating, don't wait till the turn to throw a little bit more on your face and arms and on the back of your neck and on the top of your ears. You know, do that on the seventh hole. Do it on the sixth hole if you're hot and sweating. Or if you go into a pool and come out with a kid, you know, I don't care. I don't believe in waterproof. I say reapply every time they come out of the water.
Dave usually goes into the pool, to look for the ball.
You know, yeah. Right. Or the creek or the lake, yes.
Yes, and you know, and I've seen Doc most of this stuff. He's very serious about this, and he wants you to be as well. He has a caddy. The caddy has nothing to do with the clubs. Just every time Doc swings, the caddy puts more sunblock on him. Well, it's kind of like this industrial strength sprayer.
It's funny, Steve. You know, we went out and played nine holes with you guys, you know, last week. Both my brother Brad and I put it on before you guys got there. We're putting it on, and actually Dennis Troy walked up to us and, you know, and complimented us, saying, hey, good that you're doing that.
So, and that's an old school guy.
It is an old school guy. He's an Army vet. You know, he's a guy that's, tough it up.
That's what we said as a
kid. American Academy of Dermatology is a wonderful website, so AAD.org. But more importantly for the general public, spotskincancer.org. It's put on by the American Academy of Dermatology. They do a phenomenal job of educating us on skin cancer.
And just keep in mind, this is, for any number of scientific reasons, a significant threat to women, and women need to be even more diligent about it than we all do.
Absolutely. More women, young females, very, very high rates of melanoma at that young age. And stay away from tanning beds. And girls, seriously, put on some sunblock. Healthy skin is actually white. Tan skin is actually damaged.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Get you another traffic update in a second. This is show number 645, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Thank you, Northwest for Medicine
Show.
Impact every day. And thank
on
you,
Twitter, Facebook.com slash Steve Cochran Show, podcast of everything. From the show, new blogs going up all the time as well. Go to the WGN Radio app or WGNRadio.com. Tune in radio, iTunes, wherever you can get a podcast, you'll probably find me and pieces and parts or the full show. Listen anytime you want. Steve Roberts from ABC News will join us in a little bit with an update on the campaign weekend. Here are some more texts that came in. Andre was on a flight this weekend where the pilot asked a girl if she'd go to the prom with a kid on the plane and did it by prefacing it with, I have a very important announcement. And Andrea rightfully thought that the plane was under attack.
Well, I just thought something. He kind of went on this diatribe and read a poem and then singled out a particular passenger.
And what's my point again? Fly the freaking plane.
Yeah.
Here's some texters. Let me just do it in the pilot's voice. Mexican food. Montezuma's revenge. Give me a minute. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that.
No.
219 texter says, I don't want to hear the pilot going over his bucket list.
Oh.
Things I wished I'd done. 630 texter, you don't want to hear Leslie Nielsen come on and say, is anyone a pilot? No, you don't want to hear that.
Oh, no, that's not good. No.
312 texter, we don't have enough fuel to get to St. Louis, so we're landing here.
Oh, yeah, these are all bad. This is what goes through your mind.
Ron White used to say, the great philosopher Ron White, and I don't remember which album this came off, a few years ago in his act, but he used to say, he was flying next to someone and there was a problem on the plane, and the person next to him was very upset and said, do you think we have enough fuel? How much fuel do you think we have? And I believe the joke was, I think we got enough just to get to the site of the crash.
Oh, see, yeah, I just think it's so sensitive. You can't joke about that stuff anymore.
Texter from the 708. You don't want to hear your pilot go, anybody know what the big red button does? It's not me. I'm asking for a friend.
Eject.
Things you don't want to hear your pilot say. Oh. Things you don't want to hear your pilot say.
I don't want to hear my pilot say the gate isn't ready yet. So we're going to sit here.
Is that a new? Is that a new thing? Now every time you land, it seems like even if you're landing on time, they're going, well, we're going to have to sit here for a minute. The gate's not quite ready.
That happened yesterday as well.
We got a Volvo using the gate right now, and there's a family of four that has to get the suitcases out of the back, so we can't get you off the plane right now.
If there's anywhere you don't want to back up, it's at the airport. I don't want all the planes backed up in the taxiing area.
Things you don't want to hear your pilot say. By the way, do we know if the kid said yes to the prom?
I think she did say yes to the prom.
Okay. Well, at least we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm. She's married to a man who hurt many women, and Hillary, if you look and see, study, Hillary hurt many women, the women that he abused. She's married to a man who got impeached for lying. He was impeached, and he had to go through a whole big process, and it wasn't easy. He was impeached for lying about what happened with a woman. And she's going to take ads about little Donald Trump? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay? I don't think so. And Hillary was an enabler, and she treated these women horribly.
For the sake of Donald Trump, when he gets to hell, I hope it's a dry heat. Wow. Pot, kettle, Trump. 725. What's his relationship with the Republican Party? Well, I'd like to hear that from Steve Roberts at ABC News. Steve Roberts, He knows about it. He's talked about it. He's written about it. He's probably got a bigger headache than all of us for 2016. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again.
And look, you know, the thing about Trump is he truly believes that he does not need the Republican Party. When he says he doesn't need it, I think he believes that. He's attracted millions of votes by running against the Republican Party. But I think he's wrong, because I think that, yes, there are a lot of Republicans going to fall in line behind him. But those attacks on women can cut two ways. And you look at the Indiana vote. He ran in the primaries there. He ran 20 points better among men than among women. And if he continues these attacks on Hillary, which he certainly is going to, I think it'll help him with some white men, but I think a lot of their wives are going to turn around and vote for Hillary, and I don't think it's going to work.
Well, I completely agree, and I also think that what we haven't accounted for is the fact that the majority of the Republican Party didn't show up for the primaries. Most times they don't, or the Democrats as well. So the majority of Republicans who are registered have not voted for Donald Trump. The majority of the Republicans who voted for Donald Trump. So it comes down to what it comes down to all the time. It comes down to turnout and all this bluster and all this yapping and everything else that's coming out of his big fat mouth. My words, not yours. I don't know how he thinks it's going to help him.
Well, look, he thinks it's going to help him because he has succeeded on one level. He has brought into the Republican ranks a group of voters who have, many of them, traditionally Democrats. They do tend to be less educated white men. And now when I say less educated, I don't mean stupid. But if you look at the exit polls, it's very clear that the less education a voter has, the more likely he is to vote for Donald Trump. It's just very clear. And at the same time, the other figure that was very clear to me during the campaign is that the more worried a candidate, more worried a voter was about the economy, the more likely they were to vote for Trump. And I think the two are connected, because what you're seeing is a group of people in states like Illinois and Michigan and Ohio and Indiana, 40, 50-year-old white men who don't have the education to take advantage of the new jobs that are being created in the economy. You look at the macro numbers, they're pretty good, 5% unemployment, low inflation. But in pockets in around Illinois and many other states that have lost manufacturing jobs, there are a lot of very disenfranchised, very unhappy voters who can't see their way to a new job. And he has tapped into that. But at the same time he's done that, he's also alienating a lot of other voters. He can't just look at the voters he's brought in. You got to look at the voters he's driving away.
Right.
Including virtually every Hispanic in the country, and even more significantly, moderate suburban Republican women. You get women in the collar counties around Chicago, Republican women who have voted Republican for someone like Mark Kirk. I expect to see a lot of ticket splitting, a lot of women voting Mark Kirk and Hillary Clinton in Illinois this year.
What's your take on the Paul Ryan rift?
Look, I think that Ryan is self-defined movement conservative. He believes in ideas and principles, and there's no doubt that Donald Trump does not. I mean, they're just very different political people. Paul Ryan, as a orthodox conservative, believes in free trade. Donald Trump does not. Paul Ryan believes in restructuring entitlements. Donald Trump does not. So they're just not even speaking the same language in many ways, because they approach politics from a different way. It's not just that they disagree on some issues. They basically disagree on the whole nature of politics. I think it's going to be very difficult to bridge that rift. But it's not the only rift. There are other rifts as well. You get evangelical Christians for all of Trump's attacking Bill Clinton about his marital infidelities, which we're going to hear a great deal of. There are a lot of evangelical Christians who say, well, this guy's been married three times. How can, you know, I be a believing Christian and a conservative Christian and believe in family values and vote for a guy who's been married three times? And then there's another group, and these are the Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush types, who say, look, whatever else is true about his policies or his personal life, what he lacks is the character and judgment and experience to be a good president. So there are a lot of fault lines running through the Republican Party right now.
Last question before I let you go, Steve Roberts. Who's going to run with him? I mean, the only people that have sort of tugged on his pant leg and said, look at me, are Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin. Neither one in a sane world, and of course we're not in a sane world, gets a shot at this, who's going to be his running mate?
It's a good question. I think you've got to bet on a woman. There's a lot of talk about Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, who ran an excellent campaign a few years ago.
Right.
She's a former military officer, an excellent candidate, an appealing woman. I would put her very much at the top of his list because his single biggest problem is going to be with female voters.
Appreciate your time, and hi to your family, and all the best.
Thank you, Steve.
We lost Steve there at the end. Steve Roberts from ABC News. Joni Ernst is somebody that Orion Samuelson was very big on back in the day. Remember?
She's great.
But Orion, fantastic. I think I have the story. Orion knew Joni Ernst's parents.
Oh,
like the farm that they she grew up
that's
on.
That's probably
I
true.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
7:31, back with a big story next, 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Investigation into your email server. Apparently the FBI has contacted your team in terms of talking to you. What can you tell us about that?
No one has reached out to me yet, but last summer, I think last August, I made it clear I'm more than ready to talk to anybody anytime. And I've encouraged all of, you know, my assistants and to be very forthcoming, and I hope that this is close to being wrapped up.
So nobody said, Hillary Clinton, we'd like to sit down and talk to you from the FBI.
Not at this point.
That was from Face the Nation on CBS yesterday morning. Got a little more Hillary here. And by the way, you know how Hillary Clinton can make sure that Trump stays in the race and that Trump's not only a viable contender, but and let's be clear, he is. But the way that she can make sure that she has a very good chance of Trump losing is to continue to bash Republicans. You know, you want to bash Trump, have at it. Go at it all day. But when she says things like just that umbrella term of Republicans are the enemy in all the various ways she stated that forever, any moderate Republican in the country is going to go, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to vote for you, but I sure don't want to vote for Trump. So what am I going to do here? Because you hate me? I'm the enemy?
Right. And if she is the president, she is going to have to work with Republicans.
Yeah, you're president of the United States.
Right.
And by the way, and, you know, and again, Trump gets that. Mm-hmm. More than all the others do. Oh, I said something positive about Trump again.
Oh, look at you. We should have a little
pull a muscle.
We should have a little ding, ding, ding.
Hillary Clinton on Face the Nation yesterday talked a little bit more about the emails and where this thing may or may not go.
What's your answer to those people who think, gee, FBI inquiry, that's a big deal? What do you say to them?
I say what I've said now for many, many months. It's a security inquiry. I always took classified material seriously. There was never any material marked classified that was sent or received by me, and I look forward to this being wrapped up.
What about people who think, well, she might be president? What does she learn from this whole process?
Well, that was a mistake, and I have said that, and I will say it again as often as I need to.
The additional problem now for her, because the FBI has basically said there's no malicious intent here. It was just dumb. It was short-sighted, and it should not have happened. But it was not done for some sort of criminal intent or malice. That doesn't specifically address the law as it's written, but time will tell if this goes any further. My guess is it won't. However, story out of your Chicago Tribune and other places, the Clinton Foundation accepted millions of dollars from seven foreign governments during her time as Secretary of State, including one donation at least that violated its ethics agreement with the Obama administration. That's a sign-off that she had to do when she went into the State Department that there would be no donations made by foreign countries that would create any sort of cloud of doubt about whether or not she was doing the right thing. That was a violation of that agreement, and there were seven questionable donations, including questions about donations from countries that are known to harbor terrorists. Other than that, she is clean as can be. John McCain was in the news over the weekend as well. John McCain is the guy that got the first blast from Trump when he had announced that he was running for president. And I can't remember if this was right before or right after he announced. But you remember back in the day when Trump was talking to somebody and said, McCain's not a war hero.
Right.
He said, I like people that weren't captured. He was captured. So John McCain, Senator McCain, who's in a tough re-election battle himself, said, and this is kind of like when you have to take medicine that tastes really, really bad,
right,
and you try not to make a face, or you have to go and you have to eat dinner at somebody's house and they're having something that you really can't take. But you go ahead, you know what you do? You take one for the team. Here's McCain on Trump.
I think that he could be a capable leader. I think it's obvious that there has to be outreach on his part and to heal many of the wounds. There's always wounds in spirited political campaigns. But frankly, I have never seen the personalization of a campaign like this one where people's integrity and character are questioned.
And that bothers you?
That bothers me a lot.
That's Senator McCain, who I think is going to be on next week or the week after. He's coming back on here. And finally, Saturday Night Live this weekend. Dana Carvey was back. And I love Dana Carvey.
Oh, I do too.
Such a nice guy, too. And still funny. So why not have the church lady get to the bottom of this?
Let's talk politics, shall we? My first guest is someone I've talked about quite a bit here on Church Chat, but we've never actually met face to face. Please welcome Satan.
You can actually just call me Ted Cruz.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. I was just quoting one of your colleagues, Teddy. Don't get in a bunch. You know, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House.
Oh, sure. No, John's always coming up with hilarious nicknames for me, like Buster or Son of a Gun.
I believe the phrase was Lucifer in the flesh. Yeah, a little bit different than Buster. And now you've quit the race entirely. Why do you think it didn't work out?
Well, church lady, I suppose the American people weren't ready for a candidate with strong Christian values. Someone like me who follows the righteous path and lives his faith every blessed moment.
Has anyone ever told you that you're just a little preachy? Just a little bit. We like ourselves, don't we? Look at that face. We love ourselves. Because we think we're just a little bit. There it is. That's that happy superior face. Because we love Jesus more than anybody.
Well, yes, I do pray to God often. And I think everything that happened was part of God's plan.
Was it? Was it God's plan for you to get humiliated by an orange mannequin? That's kind of an odd plan for God to have for you, isn't it?
Church lady, back on Saturday Night Live. Full clip is up wherever you can pull that kind of things. We'll put it up. We have it up. We probably have the clip up with us too. Twitter at Cochran Show. Karaoke coming up next, Mary. And karaoke, we're going to announce the three finalists on Wednesday. And those finalists will come down to the Tribune Tower and sing off with musical director John DeCoste. John will be in tomorrow.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Mike, you got a song you ready to sing?
Yes.
What is it?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Tony Basil's Mickey. All right. Whenever you're ready, Mike, we're ready for you.
Okay. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You know you're mine. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. I know you're mine. Oh, Mickey. That's all I know right now. My mind's going blank.
Are those the right words?
No, they are. Tony Basil. Hard to believe she didn't have another hit.
Oh, I was going to say she did 99 Loop Balloons, but that was Nina.
That was Nina. Tony Basil can't believe you confused her with Nina.
I know. This is such an 80s anthem.
It's 7:55. You want to sing for prizes? You know you sing in your car, you might as well sing for prizes. It's second annual karaoke. Long before James Corden was getting in the car with Gwen Stefani and George Clooney and Julia Roberts, I had the dude on from Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a long time, the old karaoke contest.
Yeah, we have.
On Friday morning, John DeCoste will have three finalists outside in the WGN parking lot, which is nearly impossible to find. And he'll go down there and he'll judge them. He'll get into each of their cars and listen to them sing.
We should space the cars like every other car, like guys sit in a movie theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they can't be next to each other. Too much chance for heckling and violence.
That's right.
The grand prize winners, as I said, you get the Palmer House, a Hilton Hotel. Well, not the entire hotel. We'll give you room at the hotel for a couple of nights. You also get an Apple Watch or a GoPro and some other prizes as well, and second and third place prizes, too. And then Sunday, I'm inviting you to come out to the Rosemont Zanies. And Jake, look up the phone number for me at the Rosemont Zanies. Come out to the Rosemont Zanies Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Special guests will be Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis. And we'll be asking them questions they'll refuse to talk about on the air, but they can say on stage. And you guys can ask them questions as well. We're going to give away prizes there as well. And there'll be a special musical performance with John and with the winner of karaoke, a duet.
They're going to sing. That'll be nice.
Be reunited. Ebony and Ivory. I don't know. They'll do some sort of duet.
Yeah.
Mockingbird. Mock, yeah. Ing, yeah. So all that coming up. Diane is standing by, prepared to sing. Where are you in the world today, Diane?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
On my way to work.
And what job do you have?
I'm a traffic lead for our in-house agency at True Value.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool.
I keep track of all the jobs. I make schedules. Traffic.
Got it, got it, got it, got it. Traffic as in traffic of your people in the store.
Correct.
Got it.
Yep.
That's good company, too, isn't it?
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been for many years. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm glad you listen. I appreciate that. What will you be singing for us?
I'm going to do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very courageous. Whenever you're ready, hit it. Whoop. How about if I don't put you on hold? Whenever you're ready, hit it.
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pull my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, and now you've gone and blown it all away. Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. Doesn't really matter.
Wow. How about that?
Boy. That's woo! Tough.
I mean, that's even better than the Mickey guy.
He's got some competition now.
Diane. Woo! Diane, do you ever sing professionally, Diane?
No, I sang many years ago for the Apollo Chorus when I was like
13. Wow. Oh, little old group called the Apollo Chorus.
Very impressive. All right, Diane, hold on. I like your chances. Hold on. Don't go away. Give Diane whatever's on Ro Khan's prize list as well.
We have good contestants this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not an easy song to sing.
No, it's a lot of
a wide range.
Yeah.
It's a lot of there's octaves all over the place. You hear all the octaves in that thing? There's up octaves, down octaves, left octaves, right octaves. Like thieves are calling innocent citizens, demanding Social Security numbers. Here's what you need to know. The IRS is never going to call you. The IRS is going to call Steve, how you doing? Yeah, it's the IRS. It is? Yeah. Oh, no, really, it is. I'm not kidding. I wouldn't lie to you. And we need your Social Security number.
Mm-hmm. And your address.
And your address. And if you don't give it to us, the police are going to show up soon. What? Those are the kind of calls that go out all the time. You got one of these calls.
I did. I got it. Yeah. They left a voicemail, too.
Right. With a number that said you had to call back within a certain amount of time or the police would show up.
And my phone would explode.
Dave, you got to quit making these calls.
No, I got that same call.
Oh, it you said, got that call, too?
It's your last warning.
Yeah. Listen, that's why you need LifeLock. Yeah. LifeLock shuts these creeps down. LifeLock has the ability for as little as $9.99 a month plus applicable taxes to protect you. I have the Ultimate Plus membership that you can save 10% on now if you use the promo code LifeLock at 1-800-LifeLock or LifeLock.com. I highly recommend it. All identity theft and monitoring of transactions is not a perfect business. Nobody can prevent it all. But LifeLock does more than anybody, and even every day when they get up and invent new ways to crack into your system, LifeLock is inventing new ways to stop them. So get with the people that are so much better than credit monitoring, they shouldn't even be compared. It's LifeLock, 1-800-LifeLock or LifeLock.com. We gave away a Builder's Supply gift certificate to our friend that just did Diane, who just did
Queen
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Really impressive.
She was good.
You can meet Wendy Snyder Thursday night in an after-hours showing of a Kitchen & Bath showroom. That's Thursday night from 6 to 8. You can register to attend at WGNradio.com. And a $50 gift certificate, as I said, just went out there. What was the other thing they gave her, Jack?
A pair of tickets to see the Producers.
Oh, the Producers playing now through June 26th at the Mercury Theater in Chicago. It's the Mel Brooks musical. Get tickets by calling 773-325-1700. or online at mercurytheaterchicago.com. News is next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
8:13, Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning to you.
I'm just looking at a picture of Bruce Springsteen dancing with his 90-year-old mom on stage to Dancing in the Dark.
How about that?
Isn't that sweet?
I love that.
Very nice.
I love stuff like that with, senior citizens, elderly, I'm not exactly sure what to call them because they are so vital and so full of life. And
you got to wonder if it's going to cycle. So, like, in a few years, are we going to be back in the point where we don't move much? Because like, this is a very active generation of seniors.
Like we are now, you mean?
Yeah, right. Imagine. In other words, are we not going to have our joints loosen up enough where we can dance with Bruce Springsteen?
I'm telling you what, this World War II generation, there is just nobody tougher.
Yeah, it's true.
Than this World War II generation. My mom, yesterday, we had a nice dinner at my house with the whole family. And then she keeps me up all night smoking cigars, playing poker. So, you know.
And if she doesn't win, she gets cranky, doesn't she?
She gets cranky. Yeah. Tosses the table upside down, turns the table upside down.
Well, you're preaching to the choir there. Yeah. You know, my mother put the word pee, or they let her pee in pinochle. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't.
That's wrong. Your mother, by the way, I heard a portion of when she was on live, but the promo that was running all week was nothing short.
My mother
hilarious.
Had the mic drop line at the end of the Mother Show on Friday when right. she said to Bill Leff, "Thank God somebody funny is finally here," and the place
funny.
Was up for grabs.
It was very, very funny.
The disturbing thing was me was not that she said it, but that the fact everybody in the room reacted like, "Thank God she said
yeah,
it."
Thank goodness wow. somebody finally said it. You're right. Yeah.
We have AC/DC news coming up, and of course we'll play our regular Monday morning AC/DC music. Is this Reagan movie with Will Ferrell dead, and is there another Reagan movie coming? Russell Crowe and Dean were hanging out. They often get confused for each other, as does Ryan Gosling and Dean. And Kanye West and Kim had a delightful, delightful Mother's Day. You know, I don't know how she takes time away from all the work she does to be famous, be able to, you know, even have time to enjoy her Mother's Day.
All her volunteering and...
But the big news is going to shock you on a Monday. Ladies, Ozzy Osbourne's available.
Ooh.
Stand by for that. I don't know what I'm more surprised by, the story in the National Enquirer that someone other than Ted Cruz's wife may have had sex with him, or the fact that Ozzy Osbourne apparently still can.
I'm not sure that he entirely is... sure that it's happened.
You think in the middle he yells out Sharon? No matter who he's with. Sharon!
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720. Oh, 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 oh.
Good news, Dean. My first and only grandchild likes me again.
Was there a point where she did not?
Yeah, past couple of times I'd seen her, she wanted no part of me.
What did you do to her?
As a matter of fact, Trump built a wall around her.
And she paid for it?
Yeah, made her pay for it, which in 4.5 months is pretty impressive. Now we're pals again, so that was good. That made my weekend, and then I was reminded it wasn't about me. You know, oh, that's right, it's Mother's Day, it's
Mother's
not Steve's Day.
Right.
Nothing better than getting a baby to respond to you.
So... It's the Wintrust Community Banks Hour, and the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center sponsors Dean. At 8:21, Dean, you fly all the time. Andrea just got back from Dallas, and on the plane, the pilot asked a kid if she would go to the prom with another kid and read a poem and then prefaced it by saying, "I have a very important announcement," which scared everybody on the plane. So the text question of the day is, what do you not want to hear your pilot say?
Yeah.
Here's a few. 630, nothing. Don't want to hear him say anything. Just fly the plane. I don't need a tour guide.
That's what you said.
Yeah, if I need a flight, you know, the flight attendants can do the party direction. I don't need the pilot to do that.
Don't even need that, really.
No.
I just want business, just straight mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm.
219 texter says you don't want to hear your pilot say, wake me up in like a half an hour.
Pillow talking. I heard a yawn commercial. Talking. I heard a commercial about that. Yawn talking, right.
Here's another one from 708. Hold on, holy crap! Don't want to hear your pilot praying, 708 texter. 219 texter says, I don't want to hear a pilot go, does anyone want to come up here and take a selfie with me? This is good, too. 630 texter. Anybody got a spare set of cheaters? I can't see a damn thing. Texter from the 309, he'd never want to hear a pilot say, this is not a drill, people. This is not a drill. And then my two favorites. 224 texter said, my brother's a pilot. As long as I don't hear his voice on the intercom, I'm good because he's a moron. And then a 630 texter says, what I don't want to hear is anyone say, welcome, Steve Cochran.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's a bad flight.
I was on a flight once where the pilot, in making all the routine announcement, did them as Bill Clinton.
Oh, please.
Oh, no.
He did like the whole flight. You know, one time it was kind of cute. Then the rest of the flight, every announcement as Bill Clinton. And it disturbed me that, like, yeah. I'd really rather you concentrate on flying the plane than be Rich Little at 35,000 feet.
Yeah, go, listen, if you shut up now, I'll get you a gig at Zany's. Just fly the friggin' plane.
Right.
Fool. Andre is very upset about The Good Wife today. What are you seeing about the last Good Wife episode?
I'm seeing good responses from people. Andre, were you not happy with it?
Yeah, I just, honestly, Dean, I love it. It's my favorite show, and I knew it was, you know, the build-up to the finale. I just was so disappointed with the ending.
In what they did, or disappointed that it is ending?
Both, but disappointed in how they chose to end it. And I don't know if it's too early to give a spoiler.
Yeah, people probably taped it. A lot of people did. But
yeah, I was very, very disappointed.
Did you expect the gender surgery change for Juliana Margulies?
Oh,
was that part of it?
That was crazy. Yeah, not to give that away. But.
And then she wakes up at the end and she's in bed with Suzanne Plachet.
Yeah.
That I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
That actually would have been a better ending, though.
The way you described it, I didn't watch the show, but the way you described it does sound very frustrating. I was trying to think, worst sitcom ending ever. Obviously, the Seinfeld last episode.
Oh, disappointing, yeah.
It was a bad one. And if you ever meet Larry David, not the most pleasant fellow to begin with, but definitely bring up the series finale, which he wrote, because he doesn't hear enough about that. But then the great ones, like you mentioned, the Newhart one. The Newhart one was unbelievably
one of the best ever.
Brilliant.
Mary Tyler Moore Show, one of the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was that? Was that the one where they turn the lights off in the newsroom?
That's where they're in the newsroom and they're all huddled together crying, and everybody gets fired except Ted, and you know they're crying huddled together.
Oh, that's
together,
right.
And it's like, I need a tissue, and the whole group shuffles over to where the tissue box is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
And then sing A Long Way to Tipperary.
Walking
out of
what's the snap in the? Oh, that's Cheers, right? Where Ted Danson turns the lights off.
Right.
Sam when he leaves the bar.
That was a good ending.
That was
too.
A good ending too.
Yeah, turn the lights out when you leave.
I wish I would have done that on The Good Wife.
All right, let's go through some show business here. Axl Rose made his debut with AC/DC,
Lisbon, Portugal on Saturday night. He has stepped in for Brian Johnson, who basically has retired from the group. His doctors told him that if he didn't retire from touring, he was going to permanently lose his hearing. So Axl Rose steps in for 12 dates to finish out their tour before he goes back to the Guns N' Roses tour. But this is what he sounded like being part of AC/DC. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
You know, it's not terrible.
Little of the AC/DC vibrato in there, as heavy metalers like to point out. He's also doing this entire show seated. He broke his foot, so like Dave Grohl did when he fell off that stage, but continued to do a show anyway. Did the whole show in a,
Well, Dave Grohl had that huge throne that they built, which is funny.
Yeah, this one's similar. This is not like a kitchen chair they brought out or anything.
Yeah.
It's, you know, padded leather chair and all that.
High energy rock and roll from a guy sitting.
Right. This is what it's going to be like when we're all 80, 90 years old. That's what it's going to be like. Rock and rollers just sitting in a comfy chair, singing their rock and roll songs.
They're never going to retire. And none of them. Ever. Ever, 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 ever.
They sound good. They sounded good.
The Will Ferrell terrible idea, not his, but a fairly hot script in Hollywood, which is kind of hard to explain, but a movie that doesn't necessarily depict Reagan as the bad guy, but definitely is a comedy about his Alzheimer's onset.
Yeah. Onset of the dementia. Which
It's just not good. It's not good. So Will Ferrell backs out, and now there's another Reagan movie?
It's nothing having to do with that storyline. This one is based on the Bill O'Reilly book, Killing Reagan, which focuses on the 1981 assassination attempt. Goes back as far as Reagan's days in Hollywood. And the former West Wing star, Tim Matheson, he played the vice president on West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play the former president in that.
And I believe that. That'd be good.
Miranda from Sex and the City, Cynthia Nixon, she's going to play Nancy Reagan. And this is going to be a National Geographic TV movie. They say it'll be ready in October. This is going to be on the air in October, just before the presidential election.
Did you say National Geographic?
Yeah. Everybody's doing these TV movies now. Everybody's doing original programming now.
Kanye West hired a string quartet to wake up Kim Kardashian on Mother's Day because they have that kind of money. I don't even care about them. What I do care about is this new Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling movie. Please tell me it's going to be good.
Steve, at this time, I am not permitted to give you a review on this movie.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather be hit in the toe with a ball peen hammer or watch... Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
I would rather, both big toes, if possible.
But that's not a review.
I am not reviewing this movie, Steve, because I am sworn to wait until opening day for that.
Well, let's play a little game here. Did you see the movie before you talked to these guys?
Yes.
Let's see if we can hear Dean in this clip not telling these guys how much their movie sucks.
Well, the beautiful part about this is I don't even bring up the movie during...
This is how a pro does it,
there
kids.
No
make notes.
There is no chance that I'm going to be asking a question and then, Slim, you suck. Anything like that's going to happen. So I don't even want that the possibility of that happening.
What's this movie called?
It's called The Nice Guys.
All right, let me hear it.
And what I was talking with them about is on-screen chemistry. How do you know whether or not you're going to have on-screen chemistry with somebody, while you're signing the papers and while you're working? It's a real crapshoot to get that. And Russell Crowe began to explain.
I always wonder how you know if it's going to work out. I'm guessing from something that I read this morning, if it's true on the internet, where you introduced Ryan as your leading lady in this movie, so that I assume means you guys got along fantastic. That's one of the funniest things I read.
That was SNL as well. Yeah.
I've seen a couple of interviews where he's introduced you as his leading lady now. Is that a good...
I don't think that's good. I didn't hear that. Is that true?
That's true. Well, as true as anything
good
is on the internet, I guess.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. The very first time I called him, which was a few years ago before this project, on another thing, and I'd seen two or three of his movies in a row, and I just really felt I wanted to talk to him about this particular project, So I call him up, say, "Hey, Ryan, it's Russell Crowe," And he goes, "Oh, hey, wow, Mr. Crowe. Okay. Well, I suppose I've been expecting this call. I had to come sooner or later. I'm really sorry for stealing your shit for the last 10 years. I don't think that's good. I didn't hear that. Is that true?
So if the movie was as good as the clip, then I'd pay the $10 or the $15 or whatever it costs.
Yeah, well, you watch the trailer, and the trailer makes it seem like the movie is good, too. And again, I'm not reviewing this.
No.
I'm just saying.
Would you rather be punched in the Adam's apple or sit through it again?
Adam's apple.
Okay. All right. Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne, you got to tell me the story.
They have split, according to all sources. They are not living in the same house anymore.
Sharon!
Which is what happened a few years ago when Ozzy had fallen off the wagon and was dealing with his addiction problems. Sharon left so he could deal with his problems. This has nothing to do with that. According to reports and according to sources close to the Osbourne, Ozzy had an affair and cheated on Sharon Osbourne. And she said, "See you later." She's gone. And so she's out right now, which is shocking news, but to me, what shocks me most about this is that someone was willing to have an affair with Ozzy Osbourne.
Would you like to see little Ozzy?
Sharon! Don't you think that's kind of the way it happened?
We're going to be able to unhear that sentence from you. Never going to be able to even see.
Could you help me?
Little Nazi.
Can you imagine? I mean, what goes through her head other than this? With all the crap I put up with from this guy for all these years and this, of course I'm leaving.
Hey, you know, just...
Sharon!
Sharon don't take no guff, so...
Oh, that's fantastic.
She's on, you know, she's on that show, The Talk. I don't know if they're live today or if it's a new episode today, but she's been more than open talking about when the addiction thing happened and she left. She was very open and forthright about it.
Is that show still on?
Yeah.
I can't it's even believe
just
that's still
it's
on.
A hit. Just won a Daytime Emmy Award.
You know, I met Sharon Osbourne a few years ago when they were plugging, because Tribune ran that show for a while, and in some form, or we owned it, or whatever the case was. But she came in here, and she's like 5 feet tall or whatever, and she scared me. Yeah, so.
Steve was actually talking like Ozzy around her because she scares her so much.
Nice to meet you. Would you like to see a little Ozzy?
The famous seventh inning stretch where Ozzy and Sharon sang the seventh inning stretch.
So good.
Right, where he mumbled.
I was standing 2 feet away from them while they were doing this. I was following them around that day. I could not believe what I was hearing. Sharon looks over at him. Like, don't you think that Sharon must be pretty used to anything Ozzy can dish out by now?
Sure.
She looks over at him like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. Well, yeah, listen, she'll be fine. And Ozzy and this woman, I'm sure this woman wasn't it just for the story and the money. All right, man, I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Back with the big story in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Paul Ryan is soon to be cantered as an Eric Cantor. His political career is over, but for a miracle, because he has so disrespected the will of the people. And as the leader of the GOP, the convention, certainly he is to remain neutral, and for him to already come out and say who he will not support was not a wise decision of his. I think why Paul Ryan is doing this, Jake, is it kind of screws his chances for the 2020 presidential bid that he's gunning for. If the GOP were to win now, that wouldn't bode well for his chances in 2020, and that's what he's shooting for.
Best chance for Trump in regards to a running mate is to actually pick Palin. I'm supporting that choice. Because he could then, in any circumstance, go, I'm not the crazy one, it's her. Sarah Palin slamming Paul Ryan. All Paul Ryan said the other day was, I'm not ready to support Trump yet, and we're going to have a meeting next week. And I can, you know, I don't have to be the Long Island psychic to tell you how the meeting's going to go. They're going to both walk out of the meeting and go, we had a substantial discussion, a discussion where I think we both felt better about things, and I am now ready to announce my full support for Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen.
I, however, will remain consistent in not supporting Trump to cross the street.
Unless it's to cross the street to say he's dropping out.
Or to cross against traffic and get hit by a bus.
That too, maybe.
Either one of those. In regards to the unification of the Republican Party, Jake, give me Trump talking about how the party doesn't need to be unified. Donald Trump was on all the talk shows. Trump, I'm telling you, Trump does a great job of getting on TV, doesn't he? He's on everything. You flip through, you're on QVC seeing the collection of some long ago star, and Trump will be on. Trump's on every channel.
Yes, he is. He was on the cover of the People magazine last week. By the way, the People magazine did a great job of being, you know, because they do this for all the candidates. Trump, Hillary, they did it for McCain, Obama, etc. But they did a whole page of how Trump has flip-flopped on certain issues and said, I am anti-gay marriage. Oh, I'm pro-gay marriage.
Right.
You know, but take any issue.
That whole
any issue.
Flexibility thing, which some people were playing off as a positive. If, look, I know politicians lie. I know they lie in both parties, but you have to have some measure of consistency on issues. In other words, if I tell you one thing to make you go to dinner with me, and then at dinner I tell you something completely different, how are you going to feel about me?
Like you're flip-flopping.
And that you don't trust me. Why would you trust
Possibly.
Me? If I tell you one thing to get you to vote for me, and then once you vote for me, I do something completely different, I've lied to you.
Right. Well, how about raising taxes?
No, in my plan, they're going down, but by the time it's negotiated, they'll go up.
In my flimsy little paper plan, which means nothing, are the words that come out of my mouth. That's just paper.
That's just words. When we actually do this, of course they're going to go up.
But I will say he flipped up in bones about 2.9 seconds.
He's just the worst. Ugh. Here's Clinton talking about the party. I mean, Clinton, Trump talking about the party.
Does the party have to be together? Does it have to be unified? I'm very different than everybody else, perhaps, that's ever run for office. I actually don't think so. I think that
it doesn't have to be.
No,
unified?
I don't think so. I think it would be better if it were unified. I think it would be there would be something good about it. But I don't think it actually has to be unified in the traditional sense. Because I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to get millions of people from the Democrats. I'm going to get Bernie people to vote because they like me on trade. I have to stay true to my principles also. And I'm a conservative. But don't forget, this is called the Republican Party. It's not called the Conservative Party. You know, there are conservative parties. It's called the Republican Party.
He doesn't understand any number of things. One thing he does need to understand is the core of the Republican Party is based on conservatism. And if he wants to reject that, then he can put that along with Hispanics and women as people who won't be voting for him.
Yeah, and that again went up too. It was, I think, 73% disapproval rating from Hispanics. That was just up from yesterday.
Here's Trump on Bill Clinton and Hillary. And the fact that he tries to take the high road on this, considering his own record, is nothing short of stunning. Listen.
She's married to a man who hurt many women. And Hillary, if you look and see, study, Hillary hurt many women, the women that he abused. She's married to a man who got impeached for lying. He was impeached. And he had to go through a whole big process, and it wasn't easy. He was impeached for lying about what happened with a woman. And she's going to take ads about little Donald Trump? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay? I don't think so. And Hillary was an enabler, and she treated these women horribly.
Trump, who has admitted that he's cheated on every woman in his life, and it's hurt their families, his family. He's broken up his families. He's going after them. He makes Bill Clinton look like the Pope.
Ivana Trump still will not speak to Marla Maples or will not talk you know, about.
And by the way, for people who have decided to fight for their marriages and decided to stick it out for whatever reason, because they love somebody or because they want to keep their family together, what a slap in the face to them. He doesn't care. One more from Trump. Remember Megyn Kelly? You've heard of her.
Yeah.
Fox's Megyn Kelly and Trump are going to do a sit-down interview sometime soon, I think. Here's Trump on his old pal Megyn.
Megyn Kelly was really terrific. She called me and came up to my office. She wanted to make peace. And we did. We did. I mean, it was very nice. Some of the stuff is said as you know, an entertainer because I have The Apprentice, or some of it was said in fun with certain shows like Howard Stern, who's a friend of mine.
Does he think he's still on The Apprentice? Because when he slammed Megyn Kelly over these last several months, he's been the presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I worry
about
you.
Just
going to
keep trying.
Maybe we should have Dr. Most on more than once a week. I worry about your mental state.
I'm just trying to appeal. A lot of people do. I'm just trying to appeal to anyone's common sense at this point on what he could do and what he will do if he's elected. It's 8:40 now. We're going to get to traffic. A couple of sports notes from the weekend after that, including the oldest guy to ever hit a first-time home run and the horsey race from Saturday, too. That's coming up.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist. Nyquist has taken the lead on the outside. Gunrunner, second at the rail. 5 lengths back to Destin in third. And they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist to catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now the sun shines bright over old Kentucky. Older old Kentucky on the Derby day. They let him run. They let the big horse run. Mrs. Tweedy saw him on the TV. Send him out to run in the California sun. And let him roam, let him roam. Let me see.
It's 8:54. Nyquist, big winner on Saturday.
And the one that Eddie picked initially, Eddie went with Nyquist on Saturday, but he picked, what was it, Entrapment? Engorgement?
No. Exaggerator.
Inflamement? What was it?
Exaggerator.
Oh, Exaggerator. And Exaggerator got blocked. Was too far back to make the comeback. Almost caught Nyquist.
Yeah.
But came from way back in the pack.
Yeah. Danzig's Candy was in the lead for a quarter of the race.
He got tired.
Wow.
Had to take a call.
He must have.
Yeah, phone ring. Yeah. And so Nyquist wins and goes on now to the Preakness in Baltimore and the Belmont three weeks after that.
Yeah.
Well, depending on what happens at the Preakness.
You don't think that Nyquist would race all three anyway?
Well, you know, it doesn't always happen. I mean, it depends.
True. Look what happened. I'll Have Another. He won. No, that's not my talking about Dave. I'll Have Another ran the Derby in 2012 and won it. And
won the Preakness. And then the Belmont had pulled out, what, the night before?
Yeah.
2 days before? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. You know what we got to find? We got to find that there's a couple of great horse racing calls I always play around the Kentucky Derby time. But before we do that, let me switch over to some baseball. Dave, you know who Bartolo Colon is?
Yes, I do know who Bartolo is.
Didn't Bartolo Colon pitch in town here?
Pitch for the White Sox.
Yeah. Bartolo Colon claims he's 43 or 44 years old.
He's going to be 43, I think.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. Bartolo Colon is the aged pitcher of the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. He's probably their five guy, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been pretty good for them the last few years. But, yeah, that's a very talented young staff.
Yeah.
He's sort of the old veteran.
Yeah. The wily, very old veteran.
Yes.
So Bartolo Colon, one thing he doesn't do well is hit. Never has been a hitter until this weekend when something happened. It made a particular announcer very excited. Do we have the English call first? All right, here's the English call of Bartolo Colon's first big league home run.
First hit of the year. Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. Back goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball.
Really?
Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
Bartolo Colon's first ever home run, the longest career without a home run, right?
Oldest player in baseball.
Oh, that's what it is. Oldest player in baseball to hit his first home run. You know what would be great? Do we have that in Spanish? Because I'd like to hear it in Spanish. Roll it.
Saca batazo elevado, fuerte por la parte izquierda, va atrás, bien atrás, lleva color, lleva sabor, hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Why does everything in Spanish have to have goal in it? Doesn't it sound like he's yelling goal?
Yeah.
Lleva sabor, hasta la vista, baby.
Congratulations, Bartolo Colon. It's 8:58. I want to play for you, though, before we move on from the Kentucky Derby, a call that we play every year around this time. There are a collection of 10 or 12 really great horse racing calls with horses with ridiculous names. But there's one race in particular that stands out, and it's a race that kind of goes to the whole political conversation from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Trump calling out Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton and Hillary and, you know, the whole deal. So Jake's finding it right now. But this is the famous the wife knows, the wife doesn't know call.
I thought that was made up.
Oh, no.
I thought, no. When I first heard that, I thought, oh, this can't be a real race.
Actually happened. You got it?
And then comes My Wife Knows Everything and The Wife Doesn't Know, followed by Eleni's Hope on the inside, five off the lead. 2.5 to late for class. To the outside on the lucky side, Morningside Heights along the rail. Miss Tallahassee is last. The half was in 48-3. Past the half-mile pole, Lady Mutata by a length and a half. Little Miss Macho is in second. After that comes My Wife Knows Everything in third. On the far outside, The Wife Doesn't Know is moving up and is now fourth and right alongside of My Wife Knows Everything. My Wife Knows Everything and The Wife Doesn't Know are moving together on the far turn, and they're coming after Lady Mutata coming to the quarter pole. Lady Mutata in front. Here come My Wife Knows Everything. And The Wife Doesn't Know on the far outside. Little Miss Macho is fourth or into the stretch. Lady Mutata, My Wife Knows Everything. Center of the track, The Wife Doesn't Know. Into the final furlong, My Wife Knows Everything. The wife doesn't know. They're 1-2. Of course they are. My wife knows everything in front. To the outside, the wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. The wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. More than the wife doesn't know. Miss Tallahassee was third, and Morningside Heights was fourth.
That particular announcer quit 10 seconds after that race, never to be seen again. It's 9 o'clock, news next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
914, we continue in the final hour of the program. Tomorrow, John DeCoste will be here. And we'll do karaoke. Finalist pair down, I suppose. We'll announce them on Wednesday. But in the midst of this month of May, there's something related to the wide, wide world of medicine we want you to know about. Stroke Awareness Month. And welcome to the studio, Patty Herbst and Maureen Michalski. Well, that's a reason. Reason I asked you about it off the air so I wouldn't stumble on the air. part of a stroke management program that we want you to know more about. So let's start there, Patty. What's the program?
So the program is an adult stroke program, and it really came about as a result of our children's programs. The Center for Independence through Conductive Ed started about 18 years ago, and we serve children with cerebral palsy and stroke. My own son, Justin, had a stroke when he was 3 days old about 29 years ago, and now he has CP and is a quadriplegic.
So you go through this every day of your life, but I think the one thing that strikes people who don't know much about this is stroke in children. We don't think about that.
Right, stroke in children. And actually, cerebral palsy presents much like stroke. Maybe some of the babies have had a stroke in utero. They could have had a stroke right after birth, like the case of my son. They could have had a stroke a few months after it, and we've actually had teenagers who have had a stroke in their teens as well.
So it's not limited to I'm 55 and I've had bad lifestyle habits and I've led up to this and I'm not taking care of myself.
Right.
Maureen, you can speak to this.
Sure, yeah. So as Patty said, we have a wide variety of ages of individuals who have had stroke. A lot of our kids in our children's programs were born prematurely, and basically then what happens is their veins and their arteries are not strong enough, and they basically then have a bleed in the brain. So they then a lot of the time suffer lifelong consequences.
Would that be an aneurysm?
Some of them, yes, are like that. The majority of them are veins that do bleed out.
They're just weak veins.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So then it can cause, you know, anything from long-term to short-term disabilities. They can be remedied through intensive therapies, but a lot of our programs right now focus on the kids who need that long-term help, and now we've also expanded into the adult population as well.
The program website is what?
Center4Independence.org.
How are you guys funded?
We're a not-for-profit, so
some
we're
public
funded,
funding.
So a lot of different funding sources. Actually, we are able to bill health insurance for the one-on-one therapy the children receive in the program, but we also receive funding sometimes through school districts, through parent fees, and we do a ton of fundraising. Very fortunate in that over the last 18 years, we've served about 500 children, and we've given away almost $9 million in charitable services.
It's brilliant, and mm-hmm. It's desperately needed, and it sort of restores your faith in all the good that's being done out there. So we thank you both for the work that you're doing. Andrea, get in here.
It absolutely does. My father many years ago had a stroke, mm-hmm. and very mild, and my mom caught it. He was saying things to her that didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like he said, mm-hmm. he was on the computer. He said, "What's my password?" And she said, "Oh, what do you mean you forgot your password again?" Then he said, "What's my name?
Right.
Where am I?" And she immediately called the doctor. They got him to the hospital. So I wondered if you guys could talk about some of the symptoms, how you know if someone's having a stroke, and if you catch it early on, is that true that you can stop some of the damage?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no one telltale sign that this person is having a stroke, but being aware of anything that's out of the ordinary, like you said, they're forgetting things. A lot of times someone will say they got lost going to work or they got lost coming home. Anything out of the ordinary, if they're having a hard time finding a certain word, if they're stuttering, those are kind of early signs, symptoms. The confusion is a big thing. There are different types of strokes. So obviously the early detection, early getting to the hospital is key. So
is that the cliche, time lost is brain lost?
No, it's very, very true.
It's true. Okay.
It's very true. So they have to identify the cause of the stroke first in order to know what the treatment path is. Some strokes, you can just have a medication that will help kind of stop the bleed if it is a bleed, but they have to identify whether or not it's a bleed or if it's a clot, because the treatment path is very different.
Well, this is confusing too, right? Because we know heart attacks, you know, are caused by these clots of mm-hmm, different sizes mm-hmm. that block your blood from flowing, mm-hmm. but is a stroke a bleed out, or is it so a bleed out or a clot?
Yes, exactly.
So it could be either.
Exactly, yes. And so the treatment then, they have to be able to identify what the problem is in order to treat it appropriately.
Can you self-diagnose a stroke while it's going on? In other words, if you're alone?
Yes. So, I mean, as long as you're aware. So there are times where people are understanding that, you know, one side of their body is going limp. There's no reason for it, so they need to, you know, make that phone call to 911 right away. Something is definitely out of the ordinary. You just have to be aware of what is different.
I lost my mother-in-law to a stroke, and I have, complete sympathy and empathy for anybody that goes through mm-hmm. it. It's very frightening mm-hmm. because, you know, there's not a lot of front warning, right. obviously. But you talk about kids going through this, like right. you're a child. It just breaks your heart. It's right. like these children have done nothing other than show up. Uh-huh. So is there anything that we know as far as care of the mom when she's pregnant that relates to this?
Not so much the care of the mom, especially if it is just like that they go into preterm labor. A lot of the times the doctors will obviously try to stop that, try to control it, try to, again, figure out what's going on, why they're having this preterm labor. If a child is born prematurely, obviously they're in the hospital and they have a lot of care around them. They often will have, you know, head ultrasounds and that kind of thing to make sure that their veins are stable and that they have not had a bleed, or if they have, they can diagnose, you know, the degree of it. But again, that early detection, that early diagnosis is really what's going to kind of give you that better outcome.
Are we getting enough research into premature birth? Because prematurity and the mysteries mm-hmm. of the health concerns that come from, like my daughter was 7 weeks mm-hmm. premature, and she's had different struggles through her life that mm-hmm. she's dealt with, you know, really, really well, but mm-hmm. certainly it wasn't easy a lot of the time. It just seems like we don't know that much
right.
about
it's
why babies
so
show
complex.
Up early and
right.
what happens because of it.
Right. And, you know, one of those double-edged swords is that the medical community has gotten so amazing at saving these kids early that a lot of the times then there are more disabilities in the long run because kids are being saved earlier and earlier through their gestation age. So it's very right. interesting.
And the recovery and depends births. On the severity too, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
like long-term memory, short-term memory, much of that will return mm-hmm. if it's not as severe of a stroke.
Right. Right.
We want you to support this program. We'll talk more about it in just a second. You guys hang for a second?
Sure.
Okay, center-4-independence.org. How about a phone number?
708-588-0833.
And, you know, I don't know, Andre, you may feel different, Dave, but if you want to write a check to these guys today uh-huh. to support, it'd be okay with me. It would be okay with me
Works
if you actually support it that way.
It'd be okay with us as well.
Yeah, it'd be okay with you guys, too? Okay. Donate some good work being done here. 921, more in a moment on 720 WGN. All right, 925 now. Talking with Patty Herbst, Executive Director, and Maureen Michalski at the Center for Stroke Management, center4independence.org, center-4-independence.org is the website for it. Now, we talked a little bit about, you know, the warning signs and things of that nature, but this discussion is really more about how to take care of those who've gone through this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to lose sight of what we were talking about off the air. Your son went through this in 3 days. 3 days old. He's old now.
Justin's 29. He had a stroke when he was 3 days old.
29 years old, yep. And he's got a full-time job at UPS?
Yes, Justin works full-time at UPS in the HR department.
God bless you.
I know.
A good story that is.
Yep.
All right, so when people come to you, they come mm-hmm. to you in all ages, Maureen? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. So we have, like I said, we have a pediatric program and children's program, and then we also have our more defined stroke program for adults. We do have a young adult program as well, and for like the 20-year-olds, and then an adult program.
So the people that come to you, hospital referrals or people that don't feel like they're getting the care they need in other places?
So both right now. So a lot of people have been discharged, say, from inpatient care, and they still need more recovery. They still need more help. they're maybe looking for something a little bit different. Our program is a little bit unique in that it's held in a social context. So there's, you know, four or five people in the group at the same time working on the same tasks, but individualized to their abilities. And that's very empowering. A lot of our individuals have said that they wish that they had been introduced to conductive education earlier in their rehab for that aspect, because traditional therapy is just one-on-one. It's very isolating to them. It's not very empowering.
Somebody described to me the after effects of a stroke are like the five stages of grief, and you have to get to a point where you're accepting I'm at this spot before I can get back to that spot.
Right.
So the frustration is a big part of it?
Yes, it is. And kind of wondering, when is it going to come back? Is it going to come back? How is it going to come back? So in the social context that we provide our services, they can see, oh, I used to not be able to do that, like, you know, my friend here next to me, but now I can see how far I have come. I can kind of give them words of advice. I can give them encouragement. There's also a sense of competition of who can do it better, who can do it faster, who can do
cool.
it longer. So it's very impressive in that respect.
And Patty, another pat on the back for you, because you've helped build this thing, start this thing, advocate for this thing, and you keep doing it. But it takes money to run it. So what's the best way we can help?
Well, we have an annual fundraiser in September, but obviously we accept donations if you just check out our website.
You know, I've got all of my rich friends and Dave's rich friends and Andrea's rich friends to step up and write a check today. That would help too.
That works. Yeah. Hey, I'm fine writing a check.
You guys are great.
So,
it's much appreciated.
Easiest
Thank
way to
you.
Donate money. You don't have to really exert yourself except just write a big check.
Well, I also believe it's good therapy.
You don't get
and
sweaty.
Emotional as well, but I also believe it's good karma. I think the more you help organizations like this, you know, the better off your chances are of living a long and healthy life.
True
so,
that.
Thank you.
We certainly appreciate it.
Yep.
My best to your entire family and everybody that works in the program. Patty,
thank
keep
you.
Up the good work.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for
you.
Having us. Really
Patty got new
it.
Golf clubs for Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't mean I can golf, but I have the clubs.
So nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are welcome here anytime. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And Stroke Awareness Month, don't forget. And again, center-4-independence.org.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, well, let me thank the moms, all the moms, including Mary Vandeveld's mom, who didn't show up today.
Still can't find her.
She blew us off, man.
Cannot find her. Let me thank my mom. Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, too, and thank you very much. This was fun.
Ed, Bill, and Wendy are here, it's time for your show now. Are you ready to do your show?
Yeah, we got Mary Vandeveld's mom come on with us. She's magnificent. She's in the green room.
Oh, it's so nice to have somebody funny on the air at last.
Oh, yeah!
Mic drop.
Boom. Roasted.
It's outrageous. Just outrageous.
We, you know what? When Dave and I and Mary, when we whooped it up, we were outraged too.
Yeah, when we really thought about it then.
Yeah. Feel bad that I laughed.
Yeah, felt bad.
Yeah, we feel bad.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Your mom killed it.
943 texters continuing to text in. You know, what do you not want to hear your pilot say? You don't want to hear your pilot say, "Hi, Jack." That wouldn't be good.
Oh.
It's an 815 texter. And from the 630, what's that red light? Ooh.
Oh, no.
I should have paid more attention in class. That's pretty good. There's another red light in here. What's that red light? Ooh, poof. This does not look good. We're probably going to die. You don't want that on the intercom.
Oh, no.
219 texter. I don't hear the sound of a pilot zipper. Well, he could be wearing the microphone all over the plane. Who knows when it could happen? People's ideas. The textures continue to roll in. What do you don't want to hear your pilot say? At 9:43, I have a story here on the North Korean fearless leader on a potential earthquake in Southern California that could happen at any time. We're talking about the big one. Or a cool story about a young woman and a homeless man. Which would you prefer?
Earthquake in California.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say young woman and the homeless man.
Mary, you're the tiebreaker.
I'll go with Andrea, sorry.
Okay.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thanks, Mayor.
Student and a mother named Casey went to grab breakfast at a Dunkin' Donuts. She noticed a homeless man sitting outside, scrounging for any change he could get. She had watched him enter the restaurant trying to buy something to eat or drink. She decided to strike up a conversation with him. Now, I will give Ross Cochran credit for this as well. He told me a long time ago, he said, it's not enough just to make a donation. If you stop and actually ask someone their name, you humanize them.
Yes, that's true.
And you give them an opportunity to be in conversation with you. Because you really need to pause. You know, we treat homelessness like it's, you know, some sort of disease we have to put up with. When it's a disease we don't put up with, it's a disease we need to treat. Because if somebody has fallen to that point where they end up living on the street, who are we to look beyond them? It's that old Bruce Hornsby song. get a job? No, I don't think so. People are homeless for a million reasons, and the truth is you're only a missed mortgage payment or two or a paycheck or two from heading in that direction as well. So we need to be more human and more humane, as this young woman was. So Casey decided to share her story on Facebook. It's blown up virally. Said, since he had maybe a dollar in change, I bought him a coffee and a bagel. And said, would you like to sit down and talk? Chris is a homeless fellow, proceeded to tell Casey about things he probably hadn't talked about in a long time, about how he never knew his dad, lost his mom to cancer, talked about what it was like being homeless, had turned to drugs living on the streets. And here's a young woman who took the time to sit down and actually have a conversation with him. As she got up to leave, he handed her a handwritten note that he had scrawled out while she was getting her things together and talking to someone else. When she got in her car, she opened up the crumpled piece of paper and read the note, and she cried. And you may too. Note said, I wanted to kill myself today because of you. Now I don't. Thank you, beautiful person.
Oh, see, aren't you glad we did that story? That is a wonderful story.
So when you walk by someone on Michigan Avenue or somewhere else today on the way to the United Center or out of the United Center at some point, wherever you encounter someone, and certainly somebody selling streetwise, trying to actually earn some money, you know, don't be a jerk. Just stop. And it's not easy to, you know, encounter somebody who's down on their luck, who's asking you for help. Mm-hmm. But if you stop and actually say, you know, get yourself something to eat, get yourself something to drink, stay warm, you know, I hope you find a place to stay. By the way, what's your name? Mm-hmm. I mean, how's that going to ruin your day? No. It's going to make you feel better, I would think.
They're just struggling to, you know, to make it.
That's it.
To stay alive.
So keep in mind, in the midst of your troubles on a Monday, maybe there's somebody out there that's got a little tougher. It's 9:47. Bill and Wendy coming up, 7:20 WGN. Next Sunday night, I'll be live at Zanies in Rosemont for the early late night talk show. It's a talk show live on stage at the Zanies in Rosemont, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis will be there, and I'll be asking them embarrassing personal questions they wouldn't talk about on their own show. And we'll have live performances and you know, stand-up as well. DeCoste will be there. I'll be there. And we'll also have the winner of karaoke. We'll select the finalists on Wednesday and announce those. And then Friday, they will be live in the parking lot. And the winner of that karaoke contest, along with all the great prizes, will be at Zany's on Sunday as well to sing a duet with John.
Is it the same winner? They also get to choose between an Apple Watch and a GoPro?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the winner could be on stage wearing their new Apple Watch, maybe.
Yeah, or have the GoPro on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good thing. And we hope you can be there because it's going to be fun. Get your tickets at zanies.com or call them up at 847-813-0484. Is that what you just told me? 847-813-0484. The winner also gets a grand prize of two nights at the Palmer House, a Hilton hotel. It's 9:52. Before you know it, the Walk of Fame ceremony will be on again.
Yes.
Well, assembled here at the Tribune Tower. Dave, how has your life changed since you were named to the Walk of Fame last year?
My life has been immeasurably improved since being inducted into the Walk of Fame.
Were you a big loser before that, like a Trump-like loser?
I don't think I was a loser, but it's an unbelievable experience to have gone through it.
Heck of an honor, isn't it?
Oh, it's a wonderful honor.
So we'll do the Walk of Fame along with the folks you already know who are on the Walk of Fame, like Orion Samuelson and Dave. We will have a new group on the Walk of Fame that we're very excited about, and they will be inducted on the last Friday of the month. I don't have the date.
27th.
The 27th, and I'm looking up the list right now so we can just run through some of these folks again. Well, I've got a minute here, but it's seven new honorees into the Walk of Fame, including a guy that used to run this joint, the former general manager.
Dan Fabian.
And Dan Fabian is he's one of the smartest, most insightful guys I've ever seen. Actually gets talent. You know, it's something that very few people do, and that very few suits understand talent the way Fabian does. So, and I don't just say that because he's nice to me. I say it because he gets everybody. and a real innovator and a real key part of this history, as was Marilyn Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn Miller, Wally Phillips' producer, when Wally Phillips was the biggest show in the country, and at a time when women didn't get that job.
That's right.
So Marilyn's very nice, very impressive. Going to look forward to seeing her.
She's a mover and a shaker.
Cranky Tom Peterson.
Love
Cranky
that.
Tom's going in.
We can't call him Cranky Tom.
That's his actual name. His legal name is Cranky Tom Peterson.
I thought he was
Tim Peterman.
No,
well, that
no.
too, yeah. Would it be funny if his plaque said that?
Tim Peterman?
I don't think he would think it was so funny.
Cranky Tom will be here. Dean Richards is getting in. Dean Richards, well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I forgetting? Floyd Brown.
Floyd Brown
hired by Ward Quall. He was here for 28 years through 1999. He left in 99. I showed up in 2000. He said, I'm getting out of here if Cochran's coming.
Your crime-fighting partner, too.
And my crime-fighting partner, Max Armstrong.
That's cool.
So Ori and Max will both be on.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
The Walk of Fame.
Did you mention JC?
I did not mention JC, and I'm glad you reminded me because I'm jumping all over this list. Jim Carullo, one of the great engineers in the history of broadcasting, rebuilt all the studios up on the seventh floor somehow managed to keep this one going.
In like
too.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
With a complete knucklehead lunatic for a boss at that point. And I think we know who I'm talking about. So a great incoming class. Now, do you get an actual like a stone that you could take to your house and put in your sidewalk?
Not
see, Andre and I, and Mary, we're not in the Walk of Fame.
No,
actually,
so
we're not.
We wouldn't know.
There are some stones upstairs that, but we got a little commemorative
plaque,
like your Oscar.
Yes.
Did
exactly.
you get a medal?
Not a medal. No.
Where do you put your plaque, Dave? Is it in the bathroom?
Like, did you put it on like a chain to wear around your neck, like a wrapper?
Oh, no, like a Flavor Flav.
Yeah. Yeah,
I believe it's on our mantle.
What do you mean you believe?
Nice.
You're looking at it every night.
Maybe.
Dave goes up with the white gloves.
Yeah. As far as you know.
Gives it the dusting check.
See, Bertrand carries his around in his wallet.
You want to see? I'll show you.
Mr. Walk of Fame. So anyway, it's going to be a great ceremony, and we're looking forward to it. And congratulations in advance to those fine individuals going in.
Great way to start the holiday weekend.
That is Memorial Day weekend, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Did the previous Hall of Fame winners go and have to clean the plaques of the new?
Well, Pioneer Court's only so big.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're removing a few of them. So Bertrand and Ennett are out. We got to make space for the new people.
But it was a great year.
It was a great year, David.
No, those are going to stay.
Steve, how's your life changed since last year?
Well, Ennett talks to me more.
Yeah.
Which was a big change.
Probably see him at the meetings, huh?
Yeah. It was very nice.
Yeah. I tried to get into one of those meetings. They go, I'm sorry, are you in the Walk of Fame?
Right.
No, actually I'm not. It's 9:56. Bill and Wendy are next on 720 WGN.